Welcome to the Defining Success Podcast. And now your host. He goes on a father-son golf trip every year with his dad and his brother, Zeb Wellborn.
Hi, everyone, and thank you for listening to the Defining Success Podcast. My name is Zeb Wellborn, and today we're interviewing author, educator, motivator, and public speaker, Larry M. Jacobson. He's a real great interview, has a lot of great insights. He's helping young adults figure out life in general, but he does have some key points that he talks about. And one of those is financial planning and how he helps young adults figure out a financial future for themselves. It's a real great interview, and I hope you all enjoy the podcast. Larry M. Jacobson helps young and emerging adults follow their goals to make decisions that positively impact their overall financial and personal success. He's a professional speaker and contributing author for the international best-selling Ready, Aim, Captivate. And he recently wrote his first book, Growing Success, A Young Adult's Guide to Achieving Personal and Financial Success. Larry, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast.
Zeb, thank you. I'm really glad to be here.
Excellent. So, you know, I know you do a lot of things, but what were you doing before you took on this role as, you know, an educator, motivator, and speaker?
Well, for 22 years, I was actually a music executive. I worked for one of the largest record companies and had been doing so since I graduated from Indiana University with a master's in music. Moved out to Los Angeles, wanted to live the dream, and after 22 years, realized that my real love was educating young adults. And so about a year ago, I decided to leave the music industry, and I've been really dedicating my time to helping to educate young adults.
And that's great. So, I mean, what was the kind of the thought process behind that shift? You know, how did you make that decision?
Well, it's actually a funny story, and it actually goes back to 1996. And I didn't realize it till about a year ago was, for whatever reason, I was sitting in my apartment in Sherman Oaks, California, and I decided to email President Bill Clinton at the White House. And one day I just sat down and I said, what were the four things I wished I was taught back in school that really should be part of every high school and college curriculum? And I thought to myself, and the obvious is obviously sex education, which people talk about. And the other three things were not really as apparent, which is personal finance, personal development, which I call really self-esteem, and time management, which is goal setting. And I really didn't think much about it. I got a letter back from him thanking me, saying I'm talking about goals and education 2000. And then 2008 came along, and as you remember, we had this financial crisis. Mm-hmm. And I started to sit down one day, and I was at Jerry's Famous Deli in Marina Del Rey, and I found myself starting to write a book. I had all these ideas of things that I wanted to do based on ideas that I had when I was much younger. And it just started to write itself. I realized that everything I was talking about needed to be said. But more importantly, I wanted to write a book that I wish someone had written for me at that age. And that's really how this all began. And I left the industry a year ago, and I've been really dedicated to working with young adults and helping them to empower themselves and make better decisions because they'll have the tools and resources to do so.
Oh, that's great, Larry. That's really cool. So, you know, I was taking a look at your website. I saw that you give a lot of speaking engagements, and it looks like, from what I can tell, that you kind of have six that you like to kind of go between. Do you have a favorite, you know, title that you like to speak about?
Well, there's a couple of things that I'm really passionate about. One is about personal finance. So, as I've written about lately, I talk about the problem in America where we have tons of people constantly giving us statistics about how we have this problem with financial illiteracy. But nothing's being done. And so I like to go out there and really educate kids from a young age, not just about the value of money, but the relationship involved with money. Mm-hmm. And what I do is I explain is that, you know, there's a term I like to use. I call it financial obesity. And what that is really a self-sabotaging need like people do of overeating to overspend. Mm-hmm. And if you think about it, most of us, our first exposure to money is either our parents, teachers, or friends. And so if you had a parent that really liked to save and be stingy, you either turn into them and you yourself become stingy, or you completely rebel. And what you do is you start spending just because you didn't like that kind of restraint when you were young.
Right.
So I try to get kids from an early age to understand that it's really important that they understand the relationship with money early on. And so for kids, you know, they love stories. So I like to use what I call a car analogy. Mm-hmm. And I basically tell them that, you know, money is like a gas pedal in your car, accelerator. And the more money you have, the faster you get to go. However, you got to keep in mind that, like you do with driving, you don't want to have reckless speeding, which to me is like reckless spending, mm-hmm. and you want to stay within the speed limit, which is living within your means. So when you start to work with them and give them an understanding about why they want to buy things, it's not important to keep up with the Joneses, and that by having more money and saving gives them a lot more opportunity to get where they want faster, you really start to see the light bulb go off. And that's really the most important lesson, is kids need to understand today, money is not something that you basically collect to show off. It's something that gets you to do the things you really love to do every single day. And the biggest thing that I'm explaining to people right now, and I use this as a kind of a tagline, you know, for a country that prides itself on its educational and technological advances, why are so many people in such financial and economic turmoil? Mm-hmm. Financial obesity.
Yeah.
So I like to talk about that, personal finance, budgeting, touch upon investing. And the other thing I'm really talking about these days is landing your dream job and interviewing. Because I think those are two things that kids want to know, you know, from the start, you know, why they need to do something and how they do it correctly so they can ultimately land their dream job and get to do what they want every day.
Yeah, that's great. And, you know, I mentioned this a couple of times on previous episodes, but the reason I got into all this internet marketing was through my tutoring business. And one of the first blog articles that I wrote was on financial education, because I never had any kind of financial education growing up. You know, I mean, I basically mimicked what my parents did, but I had no idea of, you know, what money could do for you, how it kind of entangles in the relationships and that you build with people. And I think it's extremely important what you're doing, helping young people understand how they can use money to their benefit and how they can also use it to make sure that it's not to their detriment.
So, yeah, Zeb, I totally agree with you. I mean, you're being an educator yourself. You understand this. And for me, one of the things that really played into my new platform, which I call Self-Economics, is, you know, I don't know, I think we're about the same age, you may be a little bit younger than me, but when I was in school back when, public school, we used to have to take home economics classes. We had to take typing classes, things that were really practical that supposedly would help us in the real world. And during those home economic classes, they taught us how to balance a checkbook, just kind of an understanding about things.
Mm-hmm.
Now with all the standardized testing through No Child Left Behind, there really isn't time for that. And I think that's the biggest travesty for a lot of these young adults, because they really should be teaching them about, you know, personal finance. They should be teaching them about personal development issues and also entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. Because right now, kids need to have a good foundation about business and, more importantly, their own interests. So when they graduate, they have opportunities to pursue what they want to do and not feel beholden like our parents and we might feel in having to stay with a company for a certain period of time that may or may not take care of them through retirement.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I absolutely agree, and that's great. When I took a look at your website, you had an introductory video there, and the title of it was called Defining One's Success. Now, I mean, I understand what you're going for with that video, but can you kind of explain what your goal was behind that video?
Sure. I mean, Zeb, you know, it's funny. You can sit 100 people down in a room, and you can ask each one of them to define what they believe success is. And most likely you're going to get 100 different answers. You're going to get, you know, is it having a lot of money, working a dream job, having a great relationship, being president of the United States? Everybody has their own definition of success. For me, my definition's simple. It's getting to do what you love every day by surrounding yourself with people who love and support you. So it really starts with having an idea of what's important to you. Now, on the flip side, what I find interesting is if I ask for one common denominator of what will make people not become successful, it's fear. And that's another thing that I really lecture about, and you kind of put into my intro about definition of success. To be successful, you also have to learn from an early age how to manage your fears. And I find that most people don't become successful, have problems reaching their goals for one of two reasons. Either they don't possess the tools and resources from an early age to do so, or more importantly, they can't get out of their own comfort zone. And this is usually due to early programming from parents, teachers, or friends. And so they just carry forward these emotional and negative messages, and they're just afraid to really be honest with themselves that they have a problem. So really, definition of success is doing what you love and being able to manage fear so it doesn't hold you back from from really accomplishing whatever it is you choose to do with your life.
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of interesting, you know, because obviously this is the Defining Success podcast. So that was very cool to see that on your website and how you're explaining your definition of success and how you're using that to actually teach students. That's really cool.
Yeah, and I love that you're doing the same thing because I found you because of this. And, you know, I'm hoping to be one of many people like yourself out there that are really now taking an effort to educating young adults. It's so important. And, you know, it's funny. Every time you open a newspaper or you listen to some media source, they're always slamming this younger generation. They're calling them irresponsible.
Right, yeah.
They're saying that they're procrastinators. But what I find most interesting is the fact that we're the generation that raised them.
Yeah.
So at this point in time, you know, there's never any self-blame that maybe we caused this, not on purpose, because we have just passed on these lessons generation after generation, and they're no longer, you know, reliable and no longer sustainable. And so rather than slamming them, we should take it upon ourselves to help them figure out new ways to do things, because as we know, this is a very different era than what, you know, the prior generations grew up in.
Yeah, I mean, that's an excellent point. And I mean, honestly, it really makes me angry when I hear people talk about the younger generation and how they're lazy or how they are not reaching their potential. And the reason why it makes me angry is, you know, as an educator, as I've seen all of these kids walk through my classroom, and there are kids that haven't figured out what it is that they want to do, but I can honestly say that every single student I have has some light bulb or has something that could be turned on and that could get them excited and that could get them going in the right direction. The problem is we're just not finding the ways to make that happen. And you know, you and I talked about before we got on the podcast, you know, things like No Child Left Behind, which in theory, you know, it's good and well-intentioned, but I don't think we're giving kids the opportunity to excel in what it is that they're passionate about and what they're excited about doing. You know, we're teaching them the basics, but when you see kids get excited is when they are able to take their skills and their knowledge and their skill set and make something positive that people appreciate, that people like.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it's funny, I'd spoken at Indiana University, it must have been maybe about 6 months ago. And after I finished speaking, this young gentleman came up to me and he said, "Mr. Jacobson, thank you so much. Everything you said was so inspiring. It really gave me a lot to think about. I wanted to ask you something. Can I run something by you and get your advice?" And I stopped him and I said, "Wait a second. What's it matter what Larry Jacobson thinks? Who am I?
Mm-hmm.
It's what you think. What's important to you?" And he had this smile on his face. I can't even explain it. Like this light bulb went off, like, yes. And, you know, it ties to a bigger problem that I've been really trying to address in a lot of my blogs and articles is, you know, it's funny. When we were kids, age two, what's the one word that parents get so annoyed by their kids saying over and over again? Why?
Mm-hmm.
Remember, why is this? Why is that? But funny enough now, in this generation, by the time they hit high school, they don't ask why anymore. Everything became how. How do I get this job? How am I going to make money? How do I graduate? Everything about how. And they've lost the power of why. And what's funny, well, I wouldn't say funny, but what's interesting to me is that's really what differentiates somebody from somebody else is their ability to ask those why questions. And my generation has really become terrible at encouraging mistakes, encouraging why, because kids don't ask because they're either afraid that the adult is going to shut them down and make them feel stupid. But in reality, it probably is because the adult themselves don't know why.
Sure.
And so they get annoyed when the kids ask it, and they just stop asking those questions. So if kids today can start reengaging and asking why and not just take the status quo as the answer, they're going to do amazing in both the workplace and in school because it's going to empower them. And when you understand why something's done, you're able to fix things, you're able to improve on things, but more importantly, you're able to say it doesn't work anymore. And I think that's going to be a big change for this generation if they start to embrace more why.
Yeah. Yeah, and I absolutely agree. And I mean, that's one of the things I did in my classroom a lot was where, you know, if they did ask that why question, it was never, you know, either I never gave them a legitimate answer. It was always, you know, there's ways that you can find that out, you know, and why don't you do that and bring it back to me tomorrow and see what we can come up with. And you would be amazed at the stuff that these kids would bring in, you know, and that's what I talk about when I see these kids and how they're passionate and excited about things is because if you give them the opportunity to self-reflect to look at what would you call it? Self-learning?
Oh, self-economics.
Self-economics, yeah. If you give them the opportunity to go through and do that, I mean, they're going to they'll just surprise you. Anybody, any person would. If you give them that opportunity and they are excited enough to do it, it's going to surprise you.
Zeb, you're absolutely correct. And in fact, one of the things I like to tell kids today is, you know, throughout your life, education appreciates, possessions depreciate. So as long as you're educating yourself, and if you don't understand something, there's so many options than when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have the internet, you have all these webinars, you have online classes. Most of the things that I've learned later in life was because I would drive down to an airport hotel and sit through a seminar, or I would, you know, apply for these webinars that cost next to nothing. Some are even free. And if you pay attention, you're going to glean something from some of them, and that could change your life just by taking that moment to really try to better yourself.
You know, in dealing with a lot of young adults, I'm sure you see a lot of mistakes that, these young adults are making. I mean, is there a common mistake that young adults are making that you try to help them with?
Yes. I think that the biggest mistake they go through is denying or not acknowledging their own strengths. Most people immediately go to their negative instead of looking at the positive things that they do. You know, you don't have, you know, when you talk about being successful, and I was talking to somebody about this the other day, we're talking about going into acting. Okay, to be successful now, people believe they need to be the next Meryl Streep or they have to be the next Brad Pitt. A successful person is getting to do what they love every day. So if there's somebody who loves acting, what's wrong with going down the street and being part of a community acting troupe and being able to do what you love? Therefore, you're successful. Instead, a lot of kids immediately believe they can't do it, they're not smart enough to do it, but more importantly, where they fail the most is they don't plan to do it. And an excellent story I love to share because it happened to me was when I was in Indiana University, I was probably 24 years old, I was sitting in a bar with some of my friends, and for whatever reason, I just decided to blurt out, I want to be a millionaire by age 30. Uh-huh. After they started giggling, I thought it was the coolest thing, and I'm like, I have 6 years, no problem, I'm a smart guy. By time of 28, I still wasn't making $1 million, and I started to realize as I got older is you have to have a goal. You have to have a plan. Without doing that, you're not going to be able to create those action steps. Mm-hmm. And interestingly enough, there was a study by Harvard University, by even the smartest Harvard graduates. The majority of them did not become successful after graduating Harvard University because they didn't have a plan. So mm-hmm. those people that tend to be most successful – have a plan and then implement action steps immediately. And then what I like to tell kids to do, have some form of metrics to measure your progress. It's not just important to say, I'm going to do something, but you want to go back and you know, check in with yourself to make sure that you're accomplishing the goals and it's still in line with what you want to do.
Oh, that's good. Can you kind of give us an example of what you mean by a plan?
Absolutely. So for me, you know, this, like I said, you know, certain people will sit there and say, I want to be a millionaire. Okay, a plan for me is saying, and I did this, I actually have a life experience, which is kind of a little nutty.
Okay, sure.
About a year ago, when I decided, you know, I was leaving Universal Music Group, I made this goal, could I change my life 180 degrees in 365 days? And I called it Operation 365.
Awesome.
And what I did was I sat down, and first and foremost, it began with a very simple question. How's that life working for you?
Mm-hmm.
And so it was kind of like an awakening for me. It's like that moment when I realized, you know, what was working, what wasn't, and I had a problem. At that point, I had been working for 22 years for the same company. I was overweight at that time. I wasn't in the relationship that I wanted. I wasn't really pursuing the things that I wanted to do. And I wasn't that happy at the time with Los Angeles. I thought I needed a change.
Mm-hmm.
And so I decided at that moment, it was like exact date, sometime in October of 2011, I decided I was going to move to Bloomington, Indiana, because I wanted to be around young adults at Indiana University. I started to reach out to people. And this was really the thing I want to emphasize to your listeners, that you need to do things by reaching out and asking for help.
Mm-hmm.
A big problem with people is they're afraid to ask for help. And what's the old saying? Be careful, you may get what you wish for.
Okay.
And so I started to approach a lot of people that could help me get where I wanted to go. So, for example, I hired a good friend who was a nutritionist and trainer. And over the year, I actually lost 63 pounds.
Wow.
I joined a running group called the Los Angeles Leggers, and I was able to break 5 hours in the L.A. Marathon last year. But over a 2-year period, I ran 3 marathons and 9 half marathons. Upon moving to Indiana University, I was able to lecture, but I was able to go back and work on the radio station that I DJ for 20 years earlier. So I was able to go back and do the things that I loved doing, you know, because it made sense. But the greatest accomplishment of my life was I married the love of my life this past May, and it all happened because I found that confidence again to do the things that I wanted to do. So I did change my life 180 degrees in 365 days. And because of the fact that I had a goal at the onset, what I did was I actually would do is create action steps, things that I would do every single day, be it phone calls, write letters, things that were going to help me reach that goal. And then I also created ways to measure to make sure that I was doing it in the time frame that I said I would do.
One of the big problems I see with especially friends and people that I care about, you know, you see them in the jobs that they're doing, and every time I talk with them, they're always complaining about their lot in life, you know, their situation. And you just want to kind of, like what I got from you saying, you know, how's that life working for you? Is, you know, wouldn't you want to live a life where you're happy and you feel like you're giving value and that you're helping others? And if you're miserable, I don't see how I could even go on doing that, you know?
Zeb, you're absolutely right. And in fact, I call it mood poisoning. And I find a lot of people, you've met them. They say to you, oh, it's temporary. I'm only going to do this for a year, and then I'm going to go on and do what I've always really wanted to do.
Yeah,
then they turn around 10 years later, and they're still in the same job or the same relationships, and they're not doing anything. And again, that ties back to that whole concept I talked about earlier, which is being afraid to get out of your comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people would rather stay in something uncomfortable than do something scary like change. And so if you're really serious, you have to be willing to put everything on the line, do everything that's uncomfortable, and that's why it's so important that you reach out to people that you trust and who will support you, because nobody ever gets successful by doing it alone.
Yeah, and that's a great point. Reaching out to people and asking for help and having a strong support network, because it does take a lot of you are fearful. You are afraid of the unknown. And having that support group there, that is actually supporting you on your journey or your process, I mean, it makes all the difference in the world.
Absolutely. And I think for people that really take on that challenge, yes, it's scary to begin with, but it's like going to the gym. Nobody initially loves going to the gym.
Sure.
But if you start to do it more often, it gets easier. You get up earlier. You get to the gym later after work, but you're doing it. And then you get to see the results. Then it becomes even easier to do it. But to sit there and say, oh, I can't do this, or, you know, I can never be like so-and-so, sure you can. The people who are successful are they're no smarter than most. They just have taken the initiative to do what they love, and they've managed their fears.
Yeah, and I can totally attest to that. I mean, when I first started, the one thing I had kind of committed to myself, and this is what I think you're talking about with the plan, is that I was going to do 6 things every single day that was going to benefit my business and how I was going to manage it. So I kept to that, and just doing 6 things. They could be little things, they could be big things, it didn't matter what they were, but just 6 things. And I kept consistent to that all throughout the time that I've been running the businesses. And at first, it was very difficult to come up with 6 things to do. But now, I'm sure you would know, I mean, now I've got 30 things to do, and I try to crank out as much of those as I possibly can.
Yeah, you know, and I'm really glad you said that, especially little things. You know, people think that everything has to be grandiose.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to make long-term plans. You can make very short-term plans. The idea here is accomplishment. It's not the fact that you're setting out to do something, it's that you're accomplishing those things. And so the biggest problem you asked earlier and I just thought about is the reason why most people don't succeed is they try to take shortcuts all the time. Anything that makes anybody successful is going to take time.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do things overnight. One of the greatest things I heard once is, you know, I became an overnight success in 10 years.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, it just doesn't happen quickly.
Right.
What you have to do is be focused on what you want to do, and like you said, do something every day that will get you closer to your goal.
That's great. You know, let's talk a little bit about your book. So you wrote this book, Growing Success. What was the inspiration for that?
Again, it was started back at Jerry's. I was sitting around one day, and I was really frustrated because one of the things, and it goes back to about early 20s, I started coming up with these ideas about how I could become a more successful executive at the record company. What did they know that I didn't know? And so I started to really hone in on different areas of myself, for example, the physical. So I could go to the gym, I could run, I could do things to exercise. Second was, you know, emotional, spiritual, where I could create really strong and effective relationships with other people. Mental, I started to read more, I started to educate myself. The fourth thing really hit me in the face, finance. Like you said earlier, Zeb, I didn't know much about it either. I didn't really have parents that discussed it with me. They really didn't teach us much in school. And so I realized I don't really know much, and that set me on a pretty incredible journey. And I went and started to try to learn as much as I could about it. I took every one of those courses you could take. Some were good, some were bad. But in 2010, pretty much on a bet, in a really zany flyer, it said Online Trading Academy. And I went ahead and I went down there and I spoke to the owner and I said, I'll do this on one condition, that you can guarantee me that when I leave in a week, I could trade on a desk at Goldman Sachs. He said, you will. And I met one of my mentors named Todd Davis, who still teaches with the academy, and he opened my world. And so for the last 10 years especially, I've been doing a lot of reading. I went back to Pepperdine and got my MBA, and I got just recently graduated with my PhD in organizational leadership. And I started to develop that one weak muscle, which was finance. And so once I had that down, I felt comfortable enough that I, again, wanted to write a book that I wish somebody handed to me when I was that age. I wanted a book for 16 to 25-year-olds to be able to go through and learn on their own terms how they could bring these concepts into their life so they could go ahead and become successful. And so throughout the book, I do teach some techniques, I teach some skills, but there's a lot of storytelling in the book, and most importantly, at the end of each chapter, there are assignments. Mm-hmm. I really encourage kids to sit down, think about things, write them down, and then try to implement them in their lives.
Well, that's excellent. Yeah, I mean, and you touched on it, but maybe you could elaborate on it a little bit more, is that you mentioned that, you know, you wish you had had this book when you were in high school. What is it about the book that you wish you knew in high school?
Well, I wish I had the ability to sit down and be mature enough to start planning.
Okay.
That was the biggest thing that I feel is a regret, that I learned this lesson so late in life, that if I had the tools that would have said, wow, this is how to think about awareness, this is how to think about personal finance, more importantly, how to make good decisions. A lot of people don't realize that they're making decisions every single day that actually pull them away from their goals, distracts them. And so I know that most young kids, you know, like we said earlier, learn from their parents. And if their parents had really bad habits, they pick those habits up.
Right.
So I want these kids to start feeling empowered that they can read something. And they don't have to be like Larry Jacobson. They can be who they want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what I've been out to try to do with the book, is get kids to start thinking. Like you said earlier, they're not stupid. They're just not prepared right now.
Yep.
And I'm really nervous that they're graduating and not having the tools to really go out there and compete in a really changing work environment.
One of the things that I think is very interesting, I mean, writing a book is not an easy thing to do. Did you learn anything in the book writing process?
You know, that's a great question, because in fact, yes, it really helped me at my change in writing the book. You're right. It took 2 years to write this book. I kept rewriting things, but what it forced me to do was look at myself mm-hmm. and realize where there were deficiencies in my own life. And by doing so, it really became a treatise on what not to do. and then I started looking at other people who were successful and also had problems and made mistakes. And again, you know, everybody makes mistakes.
Yeah.
Kids have to understand today that mistakes are okay despite what they've been told.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the real advice is it's always better to watch other people's mistakes than your own, but it's okay to make mistakes. You learn, you grow, and you become stronger by doing so.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, Larry, these are the last two questions, or the last question I have for you, which is two parts. So the first part, and you kind of touched on it earlier, but maybe you could do it again, is to define success.
Yes, absolutely. To me, again, it's getting to do what you love every single day, being supported by friends and people who love you. You know, that is so key to me, because, you know, if you don't have that support group, you're not doing what you love. Sure, you can get through life, But it's much better when you have those people who are going to really push you and really support your decisions, and then you love getting up every day and doing the job or whatever it is you want to do that makes you happy.
To follow up with that, do you consider yourself to be successful?
I am now, and I know that may seem funny, but you know, most people looking back would say you've had a pretty great career. You know, you got to work in the music entertainment industry, which was great. But for me now, I'm really living the life I've wanted to do. I get up every day, and I can't wait to write a new blog. I can't wait to engage with young adults. There's something really gratifying about doing something, about giving something back and being able to inspire other people. You know, I've got inspired by many people, and so now it's almost like my chance to give back, and it's for that I definitely feel like a success.
Yeah, and that's great, and that's where I think you and I are very similar. You know, that I just wish that we could pass this on to as many other people as possible. And that's really what we're trying to do here at the Defining Success Podcast. And I know you're trying to do that in the people that you're reaching. So anything I can do to help you on that mission, you know, feel free to let me know.
And it works the same here. You know, I'm really appreciative of this opportunity to be on your show. And I think what you're doing is really great as well.
Excellent. So, Larry, where can I send people that want to find more information about Larry M. Jacobson?
My website is www.larrymjacobson.com, the M as in Michael. You can also find me on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and LinkedIn. So I love getting questions from young adults. There's a section of the website called Ask Larry. People can email me and just ask me what they want to do. I'm here to help, and I'm really hoping that between what you're doing, what I'm doing, and other people are doing, we're going to finally get to educate these kids and help them get the life they deserve.
Excellent. Well, Larry, again, thank you so much for being on the Defining Success Podcast. I love what you had to say and how you're helping young adults and how you're helping people in general. So it's a real pleasure having you on the podcast. So thanks so much for being on.
Thanks again, Zeb.
All right. Bye, Larry.
Bye.
So I really liked the interview we had with Larry M. Jacobson. Him and I share a lot of similar ideas and thoughts on how we're helping people. We both have kind of this goal of helping young adults achieve success. One of the things that I really want to touch on is this financial planning and how he's helping young adults plan their financial futures. I think that's so important and so critical for young adults today to understand. And I know that's something that myself and a lot of friends that I have were lacking once we graduated high school. I know a lot of my really close friends, they're what we would call spenders, and they go out and they constantly live in credit card debt. And they're constantly stressed out about paying their bills, and it's really difficult for them to manage that, and I know how difficult it is. I'm on the other side of that token, is where I would say that I'm a saver. I don't really spend much of my money on things, but I don't necessarily invest it at all, really. And so I'm really trying to educate myself on how to invest my money and make sure that my money is working for me. But I never had that financial education, and I really like what Larry M. Jacobson is doing by helping young adults understand their finances and how to plan their financial futures, so that not only are they learning about money and how to use it and how to spend it, but how to use it and spend it properly and effectively. If you have any young adults, or you know people that are of younger age and you want to help them, give them the basic groundwork for becoming successful, learning about your finances and how to manage them is critical. So if you have young adults, or you know somebody who is struggling in their finances, it's something that you really have to learn, and you really have to educate yourselves or educate them so that you can empower them, so they'll have the tools to become successful and not be... I mean, sometimes there are people that don't understand finances and they get this huge amount of success and they're doing really well, and then that money just disappears because they don't know how to handle that money in their finances. So a financial education is critical if you're going to be a long-term success. I really want to thank you all for listening. It was a great episode with Larry M. Jacobson. Him and I share a lot of passions and a lot of things we want to do together. So definitely check out his website and his book, Growing Success. Again, I want to thank you all for listening. Follow us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and I hope you all have a great rest of the day.